This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision.
Hey, how? Do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello everyone. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to our Labor Day edition of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. And, you know, we always kind of laugh about it because this is the last big holiday of the Christmas, of the summer season. And it seems ironic to call it Labor Day.
Well, you know, I don't think most people even have any idea what Labor Day is for.
Right. Or when it was started. Do you know when we started observing Labor Day in the United States?
When?
1887. Do you know why we celebrate it in September and the rest of the world does in May?
Because we're not communist?
No, actually, it's because the International Workers' Day, that's celebrated on May 1st, was too close to the date of the infamous Haymarket Massacre, which happened in Chicago during a time of labor unrest. Somebody threw a bomb in the middle of a big meeting.
Oh, and, that's not much to celebrate.
And so when President Cleveland instituted the idea of Labor Day, they suggested doing it in September rather than so close to the Haymarket Massacre date because they thought it might turn into a commemorative event. And
ooh, that would be bad.
Yeah, that would have been a bad thing. So, our friends in Canada celebrate Labor Day, except they celebrate it with a U instead of just an O-R. It's an O-U-R.
Because they use British spelling.
Well, that's okay. That's their choice. But anyway, they celebrate it in September 1st as well, or the first Monday in September. So happy Labor Day to our friends in Canada as well. But, you know, along with the topic...
You know, we never said why we celebrate Labor Day.
Well, okay. We celebrate it really at the suggestion and promotion of organized labor.
Labor unions.
It was the Knights of Labor promoted the idea in 1887. And in a time when there was a great deal of labor unrest and a lot of violent protest, you know, and a lot of disruption in the country because of that. And I think that the fact that it was put together was probably a reflection trying to calm the waters a little bit and show some appreciation. So, at any rate, it is an organized labor holiday. It's not just a holiday to say, you know, it's good that we work. It's a good and it's a Christian thing to work and to work well and to be diligent in our work because that's part of why God created us. That's not why we created the Labor Day holiday, though.
Right.
But since we're Christians, and we do know that God owns everything, including the holidays on our calendar, we thought it was a good opportunity to talk a little bit about a biblical view of our work.
It's important to have a biblical view of your work, just like it's important to have a biblical view of everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's really important not to be just Sunday morning Christians, mm-hmm. you know, but to be Christians in everything that we do. Everything that we do should be... We should consider it thoughtfully in the light of God's Word.
Everything we do should be to the glory of God.
Right.
And to the betterment of His kingdom. And we recognize that all of it belongs to God, that it's not just what you might call religious vocations. You know, sometimes you meet people who think, well, if I'm not going into ministry, if I'm not going to be a missionary, then I'm not truly serving God.
That's not true.
And that's not true at all. That's not a biblical viewpoint. That's an important thing, but everybody's not called to that. But everyone is called to know and to love and to serve the Lord God. And so, you know, it's a perfectly valid thing to say, well, how should a Christian factory worker see his job? How should a Christian school teacher teaching in the state public schools, how should she see her work? You know, how should an office worker or a mail delivery person or whatever else? I mean, all of these things are good and worthwhile occupations, and they can be to the glory of God if we make them so.
Oh, I totally agree. And I think it's important to show our children that we should do all things as unto the Lord and not unto men. What is that verse?
Oh, that verse, I had it up here just a second ago. That's a verse that's actually in James, if I'm not mistaken here. That
I see it. It's James 4.
Thank you.
Nope, that's not it. That's not it.
No, no, no. You're looking. No, actually, this is one from Colossians chapter 3. It says, "Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance."
You know, another verse says that we shouldn't be eye pleasers. You know, I think about people who work as long as people are looking at them, and our kids are really bad about that. You know, it's really tempting for them to be diligent while mom is in the room, and then mom leaves the room and they're playing with their Legos.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate reality. Yeah, and that's, and I would venture to say that's particularly childish behavior. And, you know, we grown-ups are sometimes that way, too. I've read some things. You know, we do a lot of email marketing and a lot of online work, and I've read some studies that show that the peak times for people shopping at online shopping sites, retail sites on the web, the peak time is like at 9:30 a.m. on weekdays.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay, what are most people doing at 9:30 a.m. on weekdays?
At work.
They're at work. They're shopping from their desk. Now, can you take your 15-minute coffee break and go out and order a book from Amazon? Yeah. Is that all that's happening? I don't think so.
Well, see, I'm looking here at an article in Daily Tech where it says workers spend 60% or more of the day web surfing for personal reasons.
Wow.
You know, there's a word for that. It's called theft.
Or fraud.
You know, that when someone is paying you for your time and you spend it on your own stuff, you know, I think most employers would recognize, okay, I need to call the doctor and make an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's de minimis. That's, you know, minimal stuff. But 60% of your day is not minimal in any sense of the word.
I heard something funny this past week on Dave Ramsey's program. Somebody was talking about their work environment or their work process. And he said, you know what? When you are at work, you ought to try working. You know, use the time at work to do your work, not to go out and cruise Facebook or to check the sports listings or whatever else you're doing. He said, if you're at work, try working, try telling the truth, try smiling. You'll end up with a promotion by the end of the month because you'll stand out of the crowd.
Well, and I think that that's really, really important to teach our kids, that when you've been tasked with a job, that you're expected to do that job. And that's whether you're 6 years old and the temptation is to go play with your doll or your Duplos, or whether you're 13 and the temptation is to sneak away and read your book, or whether you're 17 and the temptation is Facebook, that when you're given a job, you need to be working on the job and you need to be faithful. Because I'll tell you what, it's not going to be hard to outwork and out excel your coworkers if you're working when you're being paid to work and they're wasting 60% of their day.
You know, I was reading a proverb about that this morning in Proverbs chapter 22. It says, "Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men."
Boy, wow.
You know, and that's a man who excels in his work. And some, I think in the King James it says, who is diligent in his business.
Yeah.
You know, I think the whole point there being focused and doing your job well, taking pride in your job and doing your job when you're supposed to, is something that, you know, even here it says, you're going to stand out. You're going to be above the crowd. And that's something that we do need to talk about with our kids, because I think that we're really their, in a way, their first employers, you know, that we are the ones who help them to understand, what does it mean to work? What does it mean to do a job well? What does it mean to do a job willingly?
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to do a job faithfully, even if you're not exactly willing?
Yeah, that's the truth. In fact, doing a bad job well is a great way to get promoted out of doing the bad job.
Yeah, it is. And you know, that I think that's something that we probably all struggle with. And I remember when I was in college and I was a new believer, and I was really struck by the passage when Paul says to do all things without grumbling or complaining.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about that, and I realized, you know what? Most of my conversation with my fellow students here at this college are complaints.
Yeah.
You know, man, I am so tired. I've got so much homework to do, and this professor's totally unreasonable. And you know what? I'm really fed up with the dining hall. The food here just all tastes the same by the end of the week. And I just, you know, this is just really blah, 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 blah. Everything is a complaint. And I thought, wow, what a testimony it would be if you just didn't do that. Mm-hmm. If you just made a point to say, God put me here in this situation, and I'm going to glorify him, even if it's not my choice, even if it's not the perfect ideal situation, even if there's things wrong with it, if it's not morally wrong and I can't change it, I'm going to deal with it and glorify God.
Well, you know, the do all things without grumbling or complaining verse goes on to say that you may shine as lights in the world.
Yeah.
You know, that people that don't whine and complain are so rare that it will draw attention. You know, we speak a lot.
Yeah.
And when we talk about some of the trials we've been through, I've had so many people tell me that our attitude toward those trials was a tremendous testimony to them of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And I think people are just so used to the response to trial or hardship or hard work or anything is whining.
Mm-hmm.
That if you don't whine, people are like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, so that, you know, that really does play into your attitude toward work. And frankly, it's not just our kids, is it?
No, it's not.
I mean, we all have our complaints. We all look around and say, I wish I didn't have to clean this again. I am tired of making this commute. You know, we all have our complaints and things. And maybe as grown-ups, we have a little more control over it, a little more opportunity to change those conditions. But some things we can't. And maybe we ought to take that a little more to heart ourselves to say, hey, you know, God's put me here for a time, for a purpose that maybe he's showed me, maybe he has not. But I'm here to glorify God, and if he wants me in this place, this is where I am. And to take that in. You know, one of the things that struck me really quick when I started thinking about this question is that work is not the problem. You know, a lot of times we look at work and we want to rush to the weekend. We want to have our free time. We complain about our boss. But really, truly, work was created and was assigned to Adam in the Garden of Eden before there was anything sinful or fallen in the world.
That's right.
Okay? It says that the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. You know, it's interesting. You know, he still had to tend the garden even when it wasn't choked with weeds. Think about that. That's an interesting point.
That is interesting.
But that's in Genesis chapter 2. And so work is something that God created for us in his perfect design.
And the fact that it's hard and unpleasant is a reflection of the fall, but not a reflection that work is not a good thing.
Right. That work was damaged by the fall like everything else. In fact, in Proverbs 14, it says that there is, in all labor, there is profit. You know, I know of a corporation that's run by Christians. It's a service company, and that's kind of their motto. There is profit in all labor. You know, even if our job is to do unpleasant tasks for our customers who don't want to do them themselves, you know, we do the dirty work so you don't have to, because there is labor. I mean, there's profit in all labor. The scriptures give us that. And that's in Proverbs 14. So I think that's a good thing to point out. Say it's not, you know, the fact that we expect our kids to work, the fact that we have to work, is part of God's plan for us.
And you know how, I think that talking about work and the future and how employers and customers will see our kids' work is very motivational to our sons particularly. Because like we were sitting at the table at church yesterday. We had dinner on the grounds as usual. And we were sitting there talking, and someone said that they were talking to a new father recently. And he was saying he was really worried about how his wife would handle the transition into middle school and then high school if they homeschooled. The baby hasn't even been born yet.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, I think that guys have a tendency to look forward and to look at, you know, if I do something now, what difference does that make for the future? And you know, we had an argument with one of our sons today because he said, I don't understand why I have to learn all this. Who uses graphs in their lives?
And we just start listing it because he doesn't understand just how fundamentally important that is.
And he was in a silly mood. He pushed back and said he wanted to be a caveman. But, you know, I bet that it's going to be motivational to him when we start back math tomorrow to realize that there is a function for this stuff.
That's a really important thing as we're teaching our kids, you know, especially as homeschoolers, is to say, here's where you use this in reality.
And see, I think that's important with their work ethic and their attitude and their diligence when we say, you know, you need to know that if you work like this for somebody else, if they're your employer, they're going to fire you. And if they're your customer, they're going to want a refund.
Yeah.
And to help them to see that long-term picture that they are becoming what a certain kind of man. Is that the kind of man they want to be?
Yeah. You know, back in Proverbs got so much about work and our attitudes. It's amazing. You know, in Proverbs chapter 12, it says that the man who is diligent, the diligent man will rule. How about that? The hand of the diligent will rule.
Wow.
Well, you know, and that's a good point because, you know, if you've got several kids and they're working together and one of them is working better than the others, maybe they should be rewarded with a measure of supervision, of supervisory responsibility to say, okay, he gets to be the work leader because he works better and harder than anybody else. And, you know, that's a biblical approach to that.
Well, it's also a real life approach because that's what happens in real life.
Yeah.
The person who, regardless of the time he spent on the job, the person who does the job best is the one that's going to be the boss.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's another thing too. I think it's a valid thing to take pride in a job that's well done. You know, to look at something and say, I've made a difference with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have put something back in order that was broken, or I have cleaned something up that was disgusting, or I have fixed a meal for the family, whatever your task is, to look at it and say, I want to do a good job with this because I'm serving God. But secondly, just to recognize that it's, you know, it has its own rewards, and that, you know, in Ecclesiastes, it says that I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of its labor. It is a gift of God. You know, just the daily tasks that we have to do and taking enjoyment in our daily tasks is a gift of God. And I think that's a good thing to go for. I think that's a good thing to remember.
I need to remember it.
Yeah, well, I think we all do. I think we all do because we look at our daily tasks and we say, humdrum, here it is again. This is the old daily grind. And, you know, our kids suffer from it. We suffer from it. And the culture encourages it. But, you know, really and truly, God's put us here with the expectation that we're going to work. And he blesses us in our work. And he blesses us in our diligence. Well, you know, there's some other things in here. But why don't we take a moment here and talk about some things coming up or some things that we would like to promote. Do you have anything that you would like to share with our listeners this episode?
Well, we're going to be speaking in the Dallas, Texas area. Right.
Actually, yes, it's actually going to be in Valley View, which is up near Gainesville. It's about an hour outside of Texas, out of Dallas, rather. We're going to be speaking at Cross Timbers Church, and that's on September 24th in 2015. If you are listening in time and you happen to be in the state of Texas, we would love to see you there.
And we're going to be in Rock Hill.
No, right. Fort Mill.
Fort Mill.
Yeah, there's two towns that are close to Charlotte, North Carolina, and they're both like bedroom communities for the big Charlotte Metroplex area. But one of them is called Fort Mill, and the other one is called Rock Hill.
That's confusing.
We're in Fort Mill, which is a little bit closer. We're going to be
At Tega K Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm. They are having a family conference in October.
October 9th and 10th.
That's correct.
And then I'm speaking at the 2-to-1 blogging conference.
Mm-hmm.
In Kitty Hawk, North Carolina on the 16th and 17th. And if you're a blogger, I encourage you to join us. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that'll be good. I'm looking forward to that one too. I'm going to be manning the table though. I'm not going to be speaking. That's your venue. So anyway, so those are some things, some of our travels upcoming. And if you'd like to have us come speak at your church or support group or whatever kind of meeting you're sponsoring, go ahead and give us an email. Let us know because you never know where we're traveling to or where we are willing to travel to.
That's right.
Because we will show up unexpectedly sometimes. Well, okay, so we're talking about work, just having a Christian attitude toward our work. You know, the tagline I'm putting on our blog post is, does your Sunday faith go to work on Monday.
Well, now, we've talked about the diligence part of that, mm-hmm. and being faithful and actually working when you're being paid to work.
Yeah.
And I mean, I goof off a lot in my work, but it's our business and we're the boss,
Yeah.
But it shocks me that employees would spend 60% of their time surfing the web for their personal stuff when they're being paid to work.
That's a real sad commentary, and I doubt that Christians are immune from that. You know, if that's the culture that you're in, if you're in a culture if your coworkers tend to be sort of slack and not very diligent, and that seems to be acceptable there, that's a real temptation.
It is.
That's a temptation.
But there's more than diligence to taking your faith to work and working faithfully. Part of it is being honest.
Well, that was one of the things that Dave Ramsey brought out, was to say, tell the truth.
Yeah.
To be honest about, honest in your information that you give, honest in your handling of work assignments or money, if you have, if you deal with money in any way, not lying to a customer.
And, that's harder than it sounds. It's easy to shade the truth mm-hmm. to protect yourself.
Yeah.
And it's a high challenge, but one that we need to reach to be honest whether it hurts us or not.
To talk about the impact that can have just on a culture, the French Protestant community back in the early Reformation were known as the Huguenots. And one of the things that they really highly valued in their members was personal integrity. And it was a byword among the French, among the secular French, among the Roman Catholic communities. It was a byword that somebody was honest as a Huguenot.
Oh, that's really neat.
What a testament.
Shouldn't people be saying that about us as Christians?
Well, we saw that a little bit. Our regular listeners know the story of our old van and how it came to an inglorious end in the fields of Iowa.
It was an inglorious end, but it was a glorious beginning.
And we'll have to put a link to that story on the show notes page.
Yeah.
But one of the final acts we did was hauling it off to the junk dealer, to the scrapyard, so that we could get rid of the carcass. And he was going to wait and send me a check for the wreckage there after I sent him some paperwork. But as we were walking back to the shop, he reconsidered. And when we walked in, he told his bookkeeper, go ahead and write him a check for this amount. He said he's got a bunch of fish on the back of his van. And if he was the kind of guy that was going to scam us, he would have scraped those things off as soon as he bought the van. And, just the fact that there was some sort of little testimony there that, hey, this was a believer, that he was willing to give me a little bit of trust, even in a business transaction.
That's neat.
And that's good. I appreciated that.
And that's the way it should be. People should think, I could trust this person. They're claiming Christ. They're going to be honest. Now, it's not that way, but that's the way it ought to be.
Right. Well, so let's look at a few other things here. I've got some notes up. We talk about the positive case of, that good work has its own rewards, that it can be very satisfying, that work is a good thing, that God has blessed us with work. And if you think that work is not a blessing, try doing without it.
Boy.
If you are a provider, have you experienced being let go, fired, laid off, and can't find a new job? Then you think, man, work is such a blessing. Work is something I desire. Work is something I pant after. And, sometimes we get lazy about that when things are good. But there's the flip side too, and dealing with the discipline of children, we have to kind of bring these things out sometimes. We all have a tendency to laziness. We want to cut corners. We want to be slack. We want to do as little as possible, as quickly as possible. And, the Bible talks about that too.
Oh yeah.
The scriptures tell us that he that has a slack hand, and Proverbs compares a lot of things. So he's comparing the diligent man. It says that he that has a slack hand becomes poor. That's Proverbs 10:4. The lazy man will be put to forced labor.
Ouch.
Proverbs 12:24. Now that's, I think our friend Pam Forster brings that out in her book, For Training in Righteousness, when they talk about what do you do with a slothful child? How do you encourage and discipline and teach a child who's just very lazy? And that's one of them, is to say, give them extra work.
Give them more work. It's for instruction in righteousness. It's published by Doorpost. Fantastic book.
It is. It's a very good book. Yeah,
the book organizes Bible verses by common sins in your home. And it says, what does the Bible say about the sin? What should happen to someone who commits a sin? What are the blessings of people who resist the sin? It's really good.
Do you know what I think my father's favorite verse in the entire Bible was?
What?
I think the one I heard him quote more often than anything else, 2 Thessalonians 3:10. That's the one where Paul says that if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat.
Ah.
You know, and that was one of the things that he said so many times to encourage me to diligence and righteousness in my work habits. That was, yeah. And so, you know, there's...
Well, I told a mom that the other day. She said her son is just refusing to do his schoolwork in the morning. He's a teen, and he just doesn't want to be bothered. And I told her, well, I would tell him, your lunch is ready. It's on this plate. It's in the refrigerator. It'll be done when you're done with your... It'll be ready for you when you finish with your schoolwork. You know, don't deny him food.
No, you're not denying food. You're not starving anybody. But, you know, there's other passages in Scripture that talk about hunger makes a man diligent. you know, that the need, feeling the need that a poor man has a greater desire to work.
That happened in our house yesterday. So people said, what are we having for dinner? And I said, I can't think about it. The kitchen's so dirty. I will decide after the kitchen's clean.
Ah, well, that was an encouragement.
I got a lot of help.
You did get a lot of help. There was some people went into high gear over that. Yes, indeed. So those are all biblical things. I tell you what, said, do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Drowsiness will clothe a man in rags. What do you think of that? Yeah, so... Okay, so there's laziness warnings there, you know, that if you make that your lifestyle, if that's your goal in life is to do no work, then you should expect to be hungry and badly clothed and end up doing more work at the end anyway. And if forced labor doesn't usually earn much of a salary, does it?
No, it doesn't.
And so, you know, those are things just, that's Realityville. That's your check-in with the way the world works, kids.
And I think when we help our kids to understand these things, when we give them the reality check of helping them to understand what the world is like, then we're preparing them for real life. You know, I hear people that say they pay their children for every chore they do around the house. Their children won't do anything unless they're paid.
That's the flip side of it, yeah.
Yeah, and I look at my children and I say, well, you know, you like eating? You like having a house to live in, then you have to help.
We all
have to help.
We all have an oar to pull in this boat. You know, we're all riding in the same wagon. Or actually, we're not riding. We're pulling the wagon. That's the important thing. And so, yeah, it's a valid thing to expect certain things just because you're part of the family. And this is what the family does, you know. The family takes care of itself and takes care of its members. And so... Okay, well, all right, a couple other things I wanted to bring out here, you know, that we have certainly learned this. You need to plan, you need to be diligent in your planning and look forward. I remember when Christ talked about, you know, which of you, when he goes out to build a tower, doesn't go out first and count the cost so that you can finish building that tower out in your field, that watchtower like they used to build out there. You know, that Jesus said, you know, all of you will make plans. And he praises that sort of forward thinking. But we got to remember in what they used to say, sub condition Jacobi. What is that? That is a Latin phrase which means subject to the conditions of James. And what is that? You know what that passage is. Okay. That passage is in James chapter 4. It says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. And that's James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. So, you know, that's something that we have to think about often is to say, I've got this plan. I think it's going to work. But it's always in submission to God's will because God overrules things sometimes. God blesses some things far beyond anything we would have expected. I've certainly seen that in our business and ministry. And so just knowing that God is in charge and God exercises charge and care over everything we're doing. We make plans. We're good stewards of our time and our money. But understand that ultimately we're serving that God and we're at His disposal. He's not at ours.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, and ultimately that's it. That we are, and we quoted this earlier, we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We work for Him. We are His stewards. We're like His household managers here with the things He's given us to take charge of. But ultimately, we're doing it for His glory and in accordance with His will, with His principles. And that's what we need to approach all of our work, whether it's, you know, managing our home, managing our personal finances, working for an employer in an office or a field or a factory or wherever we may be. That's just an outpost. We're actually working for God.
Well, I love the whole concept of business as mission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea that we're going to run a business, but this is our ministry. You know, that we're, and that's used in a very specific way for like people who are going into countries where you're not allowed to be missionaries, but they're going in as business people.
Mm-hmm.
As a way to reach into that culture. But I think really all of our businesses should be business's mission. It should be intentionally glorifying God, whether we're cleaning out septic tanks or painting houses or actually counseling people and publishing Christian books.
Or that, making really awesome chicken sandwiches.
Yes, that it should all be to the glory of God.
It's always to the glory of God.
Right.
Every bit of it, yeah. And you know, here's the thing, I guess final closing thought on this, that who would you rather work for?
Yeah.
Who would you rather be an employee of? You know, that this random guy that happens to own a company or works for somebody who owns a company. Yeah, sure, you may be working for him. He may be your supervisor, but isn't it so much better to say, hey, the God who not only made me and gave me life and gives me each breath that I enjoy, but sent His Son to die for me. That's who I'm ultimately working for.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Now, you know, the yoke is how a field laborer would be hauling buckets of water or whatever it was, you know, that was manual labor of the most basic sort. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. And my yoke is easy. My burden is light.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you want to look that up, that's Matthew 11, Matthew chapter 11, 29, 30. So ultimately, I guess those are kind of the things we want to get across, not just to our kids. I want our kids to know this, but I want to always remember this myself. God gives us work, and it's a blessing. It is a blessing that we have work to do and the ability to do it, and we can find satisfaction in a job well done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there are rewards for doing a job well, and there are punishments and consequences for being slack about it. And so we want to do our jobs well. We want to enjoy those rewards. But ultimately, we want to glorify God because He's the one that we're working for. That's a good thing to remember.
Oh, it certainly is.
Well, we do appreciate your time here with us. We are recording this a little bit early because we've got some stuff to do here, being Labor Day and the last day of summer and all
of
that.
In fact, we've got to go right now, Hal.
Well, that's okay. So we're going to wrap things up now. Give us about 20 seconds. We just want to say we appreciate you joining us here. And, you know, this goes live every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. But you can catch us on iTunes or you can come link to the archives. Just go to halandmelanie.com/radio and that will take you right to our show page. But until next time, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thanks and God bless you for listening.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.